the whole purpose of this amendment is to create and protect a certain business model. You can possess and smoke it, but only if you buy it from these companies. You cannot grow your own under this amendment. They are giving themselves, the weed companies, total immunity from any civil liability. Honestly, the chutzpah, it takes a lot of gall to do that. I mean, really, are you serious? So the market is going to get bigger, the price will get higher, and so what happens? The black market fills the void with lower prices. I think the thing to point out about Colorado, California, New York, whatever you think of them, and I think it's been a train wreck, this amendment is much worse in terms of how it's written. This is a horribly written amendment.
All right, so that's Governor DeSantis, the chopped-down version of, you know, what he said on Friday when he came to Pensacola and spoke at the sheriff's office against Amendment Number 3. And that's just like the sort of fastest version of his arguments against, obviously very much opposed to it. I've told you that I'm opposed to this amendment as well, but we in a conversation like to give different sides a chance to speak. And I got an offer yesterday to have the chairman, the CEO, excuse me, chief executive officer and founder of Trulieve on the air, Kim Rivers. And I said, yeah, of course, right? Kim, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks so much for having me. Good morning.
Absolutely. Good to have you. You guys are what, 10 years in business here in Florida, founded in Florida, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we were founded here in Florida, started with 10 employees in Quincy, which is a town outside of Tallahassee, and have grown the company over the last 10 years to now employ thousands of Floridians across the state.
And you do pay a little bit of tax, yeah?
Yeah, just a little bit. So, we're proud Floridians and proud to contribute to the economic growth of both our state. And of course, we pay our fair share in federal taxes as well.
So before we get to the arguments against and some of the things that DeSantis raised and that I would want to ask you about, I wanted to give you a minute or two just to say why you favor this. Like, what is your argument for, obviously, it will grow your business. Grow, not intended as a pun, but there you go. Your business will increase, obviously. You'll employ more people, obviously. But apart from that, why should people, in your view, vote for this amendment?
Yeah, really, Amendment 3 is very simply, it's about personal freedom. It's about, the fact that over 70% of Americans now favor some form of legalization. We're talking about the ability for adults over the age of 21 to be able to utilize and access a substance that's safer than alcohol in the privacy of their own homes. Second, it's about stopping needless persecution and arrest of folks for small amounts of marijuana, and to make sure that the 3 million Floridians who are currently using marijuana, 800,000 of which are accessing it through the medical program, but there's over 2 million Floridians that are using marijuana today and getting it through the illicit or unregulated markets. And really, it's about creating an opportunity for those folks to have access in a safe way to make sure that those products are clean and reliable and not contaminated. And then finally, I would say it's about generating revenue. We have an opportunity to generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the state and to reinvest it into our community, into police and schools.
Nicely done, by the way. Good. So I think there are three sort of levels of conversation about this amendment. Level one is the pro-con for legalization, which, of course, what you talked about right there was the sort of pro for legalization. Level two is this amendment in particular, is it good policy if you agree that we ought to legalize marijuana? And then the level three is, if this is good policy, does it justify a constitutional amendment, which will be almost impossible to tinker with or improve if we ever discover that there are things to come back on? And that's kind of where I want to focus our conversation. So, Kim, I think the pro-con argument about legalization is one that with the public, you probably win on the basis of freedom, on the basis of, tolerance or indulgence, comparisons with alcohol. We can have conversations about all that. I think it's more interesting to talk about the question of this particular amendment and whether a constitutional amendment is the right solution. This amendment only allows companies like yours to dispense marijuana. It doesn't allow personal grows. It wouldn't allow farming outside of what's already been allowed, and it wouldn't allow other outlets to do theirs. Why is that the right policy?
Yeah, and actually, let's just clear up the facts here, because I think there's been a lot of misinformation on this point in particular. So first of all, currently in the state of Florida, there are 25 companies that are currently authorized to grow, process, and sell. There are another 22 companies that the governor could sign into existence today. Those applications are finished and sitting on his desk waiting for signature. So we're talking about a market that would have 47 companies available on day one to for folks to be able to access the product. Secondly, in the text of the amendment, if you read it, it specifically authorizes the legislature to issue new types of licenses specifically for adult use. Those licenses, there's no restrictions on them, so they could be any size, any type, any types of companies. So this is a market expander, not a market retractor. And so that talking point is absolutely candidly false. Second, home grow. In the Constitution, as you probably know, there are strict rules in terms of how an amendment must be crafted. It's required in the state of Florida that we only have a single subject. And so this amendment is silent as to home grow. It in no way prohibits home grow. It keeps the law the way that it is today. And the reason that we cannot add home grow is because in the last attempt, so by the way, legalization has been attempted to make it onto the ballot here three different times, and the Supreme Court has struck those measures down. The last amendment had both home grow and legalization in it, and the Supreme Court said that that violated the single subject rule. So unfortunately, we could not add home grow. If we did, we wouldn't be on the ballot. So again, that's a disingenuous argument. However, what I will say is that we are absolutely supportive of home grow. We always have been supportive of home grow. And in fact, in other markets that we participate in, we sell things like seeds and clones and whatnot. So we look at that also as a market expander. And in fact, because there's been so much talk about home grow, we believe, and actually Senator Joe Gruters, who's a Republican, big Republican senator, and Senator Chevron Jones, who's a Democrat, have come together and have said that they will be sponsoring a home grow bill this legislative session once Amendment 3 passes. So step one is legalization. We got to stop the arrests. We got to make sure that adults who are over the age of 21 have the freedom to access clean, safe product. Step two is we can make it legal for folks to grow at home, which I'm very supportive of. We're very supportive of, and think that that's the next step to freedom.
So that kind of brings me to the third level, which is why a constitutional amendment. Because, by the way, mm-hmm. I agree with I think everything that you've said so far in that layer of analysis, and that the legislature can certainly come in and do all kinds of things to expand. The concern mm-hmm. is that, and we didn't really talk about the immunity provision. We could maybe if we have time, but. If this is true, and if there is a push in Florida towards legalization, and if you have, you know, mm-hmm. legislative support for legalization, then why not just go for straight legalization? And why do you need to do it in a constitutional amendment? Because there's kind of the two questions. One is, it seems like a straight decriminalization amendment would have been much cleaner, easier to sell, and wouldn't have the counterarguments be made against it mm-hmm. as monopolistic or whatever. But also, why a constitutional amendment? Why not just go through the legislature if the time is so ripe, which you could then tinker later on if you need to tinker?
Sure. So 2 points. One, decriminalization without a marketplace and a regulated marketplace ends in disaster. That's actually exactly what happened in New York. So and that actually would fuel the black market. And so it is very important. And for states that have done this the right way, like in Arizona, a Missouri, an Ohio.
Are you still there, Kim? I'm sorry, you cut out on me for just a second.
Marketplace. So I do think that that's an important point.
Hey Kim,
second,
I'm so sorry. We lost you there for about 15, yeah. about 10 seconds. You
oh,
were saying
I'm so sorry.
They did it right yeah, in just, they did it right just, in Arizona, and then the last part of that sentence. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. They did it right in Arizona, Ohio, Missouri. So again, good, very conservative run states where, again, you have legalization with a regulated. And those two things need to go hand in hand to effectively ensure that there is a transition from the illicit market into a regulated market, and that it is, again, safe, clean, and effective. It and candidly has guardrails in place that are effective. So that's point number one. Point number two, the reason for a constitutional amendment is, listen, that's democracy. This is the democratic process here. And candidly, right, there have been every single year, attempts to bring this issue up before the legislature. And even though you have an overwhelming support from the people, and I mean, as evidenced by the fact that there have been three separate attempts with over 1 million signatures from Floridians every single time to get this on the ballot. And you're even seeing now, right? There's overwhelmingly, I mean, this thing, you know, is going to have overwhelming support, majority of support from all parties, all sides. You've got both presidential candidates. You have presidential candidate Trump, who has specifically endorsed as a Floridian Amendment 3 and said he's going to vote for it. So again, the time has come. And candidly, when lawmakers aren't listening to the will of the people, then this is a safety valve, right? And the other thing I would say is that, unlike some other amendments that may be on the ballot, Amendment 3 gives broad power to the legislature, just like broad power was given in the medical program, to make changes and to make sure that this is done the Florida way. Again, we have senators who have already drafted bills to prohibit public smoking and public consumption. I believe there will be strict guardrails in terms of time, place, and manner. I think there's going to be product differences. And again, there's going to be taxation so that we can make sure that this revenue is invested back into our Florida communities.
So I, you know, you have not persuaded me on the constitutional amendment slide, but I appreciate the answer, by the way. Great conversation. As far as the public policy side, I'm trying to give you as much chance to speak, because I've given a lot of air to the other side, right? So I'm trying to give you as much chance to answer on these questions. What about the sort of broader, maybe, question? This sort of slops across all three of the categories we've so far been distinguishing pretty well, which is, you know, we knew when Charlotte's Web came that it would lead to medical. And we knew when medical came that it would lead to decriminalization. And here we are. In fact, in the original constitutional amendment allowing medical, it specifically says nothing in this amendment shall be construed to imply that people can, you know, just use it recreationally. Well, here we are just a couple of years later, and so far that you're even willing to say, Trulieve founder, you know, Kim Rivers is willing to say, hey, and if people want to grow it in their backyards and get high on their own time, you know, that's all fine. It's all been gateway progression for the legalization slice. And, you know, why shouldn't we feel like we've been sort of slippery sloped into this position?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, I think on home grow, that's, you know, that's very much a currently, you know, a Republican position, along with, and I think that crosses, that's a freedom position. And I think if folks, you know, want to grow a couple of plants, you know, I think we can agree that's probably okay.
And I certainly agree with you that I think Republicans will probably take that position. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And as it relates to, you know, what has happened is, I don't think we can look at this in a vacuum. Again, when you look at what's happening nationally, right, and you look at what's happening as it relates to the research and the data and the science, right, time doesn't stand still, right? Thankfully, right, we as society and we as Americans, we progress with the times. And really the information and the ability to have science, right? I mean, just yesterday, an FAU longitudinal study came out that confirmed that teen usage declines dramatically in states where there is legalization. So, you know, there has been a lot of misinformation and propaganda out there over the years, right? We've got a lot of, you know, this is kind of things that we've been told.
But is that because of decriminalization, or is that because use is down?
It's because of legalization. And so they literally went back, and I'm happy to show you the study and forward it to you, and you can post it and share with your listeners. But they looked at states where legalization has occurred, and in those states, teen usage has declined. Let's talk about why. So number one, there's age gating, right? And so in states that have legalized, there is effective transition from the illicit market into a store regulated environment. When you go to those stores, you have to show an ID, and there's technology to ensure that those IDs are valid and that you are in fact over the age of 21. Second, the product. When you buy a product from us, it's in a child resistant container, it's white, it's opaque, it is not attractive to children. We are regulated to the hilt. Every single thing that we sell has to be approved by the state of Florida. So our products, there is no brightly colored, anything that resembles a gummy bear. We're not even allowed to call it a gummy. Our products are called gels, and they resemble a white menthol Halls cough drop. So nothing.
I'm not sure that's 100% something kids wouldn't try too. Hey, Kim, I know you have to go because you have another interview in like 5 minutes. Plus, we're totally out of time. I wanted to give you as much time to talk as possible, because obviously you're very sharp. You know your material.
Thank you so much.
Very helpful, very useful for our listeners. So thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yep. Appreciate it. And don't forget to go out there and vote.
Thanks. Kim Rivers, the CEO of Trulieve. Thank you so much for the time this morning.